Yeah, I'm really glad Peter asked me to read this morning because it's a really good book, Philippians. I just read through it this morning and just so much inspirational stuff, and it's just kind of amazing because it's so easy to kind of get caught up in lots of our own struggles, and Paul's here literally in chains in prison and just full of confidence of everything Jesus is doing for us. And anyway, so here we go. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Are you doing something now? So I'll just pray for Peter while he brings his sermon to us. Father God, I'd like to pray for Peter as he shares your word with us. Pray that you'll fill his heart with your love and put your words in his mouth, and pray that we'll listen openly and receive your word from him. Yeah. And also I'd like to pray Paul's prayer to the Philippians for all of us, because I think it's such an amazing thing to think. So I pray that that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that we may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Great. Keith was telling his congregation that they might not have realized it when they appointed him, but he was an amazing basketball player. He described his amazing, blazing speed up and down the court, and the astonishing slam dunks that he brought into the basket. I can dribble between my legs and around my back. In every position, I'm an offensive assassin, he said. I was impressed. I said, so what team do you play for? He said, oh, I'm not really into organized basketball. I do that my own thing. I play in the garden, in the backyard. And interesting, when you become a Christian, God's purpose is not that you go it alone, but you become an active part of the team. And the local church is that team. We enter into a partnership with our fellow believers. And at its heart, that partnership is with Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we become Christians, we're drawn to the gospel. And it's the Spirit that draws us to the gospel. The Spirit draws us not only to the gospel and to the Lord Jesus, but the Spirit draws us to one another, into a partnership and fellowship with other Christians. And if there's no partnership, there's no church. We'd just be a social club, just like meeting on a Sunday, and that'd be all we would be, nothing more. And so the foundation of gospel partnership, what is the foundation of gospel partnership? We need to appreciate that foundation that Paul rejoices over. We need to know that the church at Philippi, you see, was the first church that Paul founded. As he brought the gospel to the city, there were a number of dramatic conversions, including a businesswoman who happened to be at a prayer meeting and was converted. And then there was a demon-possessed girl who was wonderfully released and wonderfully converted. At one point, there was a riot that broke out because Paul's message was causing such a stir, and he was beaten and he was imprisoned. But Paul and Silas were singing God's praises in prison. And God responded with an earthquake, and this led the entire jailer's family to be converted. And despite being asked to leave the town, the gospel took root in Philippi. And from the beginning, there was a deep sense of partnership between Paul the apostle and between the Philippian Christians. This word partnership, it's a bit like, it's the word koinonia, often translated fellowship. And what lie at the heart of this partnership of the Philippians with Paul? Well, verse 11 tells us that there was a shared desire for God's glory. That Paul and the Philippians longed to see God glorified in that part of the world. It was about working together to the praise and the glory of God. And Paul was rejoicing day by day as he heard how God was working at Philippi and how the church was growing. And they were rejoicing as they got news from Paul about what was going on in his ministry. And even as Paul was in prison, the gospel was spreading across the nations and God was being glorified. And then secondly, there was a shared heart of thankful service and fellowship. We see that there in verses 3 and 4. Both Paul and the Philippians had a deep affection for each other as they served in their own particular situations. And when Paul thought about them, verse 3, he tells us that his heart was filled with joy and celebration, a bit like Sarah was telling us when sometimes she just when she raises her voice to God in prayer and her heart rejoices in that partnership. And so, like Paul, that brought them such joy. And one reason was that this church was one of the first churches to partner with Paul in bringing the world-shaking gospel to other places. As Christians, we're not meant to make it alone. There's no such thing as an independent Christian. Think about what Paul's saying to the Philippians, verse 5. He's saying that we need each other. Do you sometimes forget that? That you actually need your brothers and sisters in Christ? Just as I need you and Sarah needs us, we need each other. We've seen that recently, haven't we, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. How can the hand say, I don't need the foot, or the foot say, I don't need? We need each other. Secondly, we love each other, don't we? Jesus said that love for one another is what marks us as Christian believers. John 13, verse 34, we love one another, and that love is a deep, profound love. And so we stand in loving partnership with each other. But we don't just love each other. We belong to each other. Verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about you since I have you in my heart. This partnership involved a deep responsibility and commitment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 19 and 20, Paul writes this. He says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. We don't just belong to Christ, we belong to each other. That's a big, challenging thing, isn't it? We belong to each other. And so today, as we're especially thinking about our partnership and about how we connect with Sarah in her missionary work in Peru, we want to remind each other that we are in a partnership centered on the gospel. In her work, Sarah may be on the front line, but her work is only possible as we partner with her in that ministry. Verses 3 and 4, we see that this partnership of Paul was expressed in four key ways. And let me just take a few minutes to talk about the ways in which we see that here in the passage. And as we look at this passage, I want us to ask ourselves the question, is this the partnership that we really share with one another and with Sarah? Is this what marks the partnership that we have as a church? We're not a group of people who just come, you know, you go to some churches, don't you, and you can come in, nobody speaks to you, and you go out and nobody speaks to you. I was chatting to one lady about this, and she said, yeah, that's what it's like at my church. Nobody ever speaks to me. I just go, and I go, come home. Well, we must never be like that. But of course, the partnership we have is not just about a conversation on the door. It's about a deep partnership that should mark our lives together. So let's think about this partnership. First of all, we see that in verse 5 that this is a gospel partnership. It's a gospel partnership. He says there, because of your partnership in the gospel. And a passion for the gospel, the good news of Jesus, was what marked this partnership out. It lay at the very heart of the partnership. Verse 27, Paul talks about contending together for the faith of the gospel. They'd been saved through that same gospel. They knew that the gospel was the only hope for a lost mankind. They stood with the apostle in getting that message of Jesus Christ to those who hadn't heard. They shared with Paul in suffering for the gospel. Verse 29 of chapter 1. They shared with Paul as he struggled with the enemies of the gospel, knowing something about struggle in their own lives. Verse 30. And it was reflected in their prayers, wasn't it? Look at verse 19. For you know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. At a Philippian prayer meeting, they'd be praying passionately for the progress of the gospel. They'd be praying that God would break down the barriers that would stand in the way of the spread of the gospel. We join with Sarah praying that those gospel barriers will be broken down. And so this gospel partnership, it's a practical partnership. Sarah said she needed help on her, I think that's a mailing thing. But it's a practical partnership. One of the main reasons Paul wrote this letter was to thank the Christians for their generous gift. Their gospel partnership wasn't just words. It showed itself in actions as they dug deep into their pockets to supply Paul's needs. In fact, we're told that they were even willing to send one of their very best men, Epaphroditus, to care for Paul. One of the ways we can partner with Sarah is by giving, perhaps even by going and visiting her. And then this gospel partnership was to be an ongoing partnership. It's now more than 7 years that Sarah has been out in Peru. But it'd be very easy for us to lose interest. Are there some things that you're the sort of person where you start with a real interest in something and then you kind of drop that interest and go on to something else and then you go on to something else? Is that you? We can't be like that in mission. In mission, we stand together in the long term. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, some churches, of course, had abandoned their partnership with Paul when they found that he was in prison. Perhaps they didn't want to be associated with a man who had his hands and feet in chains, in case their reputation became tarnished. But not the Philippians. They stuck with Paul through thick and thin. And so we need to ask ourselves the question, brothers and sisters, are we committed in that way to each other? Are we in it for the long run together? Sadly, sometimes when things get difficult in churches, some Christians just walk away. They just say, well, I'll go somewhere else. I'll go down the road where things, I'm sure, will be much better. But true Christian faith means that we stand together in the long run, even when it's difficult. I wonder if Sarah's time here could be an opportunity for you to deepen your gospel partnership with her. Perhaps some of us need to renew our gospel partnership with each other. Because Sarah's been away for a number of years, it would be so easy to stop that partnership. As individuals, we need to look for new creative ways to strengthen that partnership with one another and with Sarah. And then secondly, it was a partnership of confident prayer. We see that verses 3 through to verse 6. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. Some churches had abandoned Paul. But these are Christians who pray, We pray, confident that the one who had begun a good work in them would carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. And when Paul thought about the Philippians, notice that he was drawn to joyful prayer. And he doesn't just pray for his best friends, he prays for the whole church. He doesn't just pray for the people who wrote him lovely letters, but he prays for the spiritual growth of each member of the fellowship. Do you do that? One of the ways we can do that is through our prayer card that Sharon prepares for us each week. Praying for one another, praying for the good of one another, for one another's growth. See, Paul had a confidence, not in his own ministry, as it were, but in God's ongoing work in their lives. That's why he was able to pray with such confidence, because God's work was a growing work. It wasn't because the Philippians were such good folk, or because it was such a strong church, but because God had seen how the gospel came into Philippi, how the Lord opened Lydia's heart so wonderfully to receive the gospel, how the jailer had come to faith in Christ through that amazing miracle and that earthquake, and how God had released that slave girl from the bondage that held her. God had begun a good work in those believers, and Paul had a good theology, and we need to have a good theology that he who begins a good work will bring it to completion. We can pray boldly for Sarah and her work in Peru. We can pray boldly and confidently for one another because we know that God will not fail to achieve his purposes in our lives. And we need, like Paul, a right perspective. Do you know, we often see the flaws and the problems in one another. We see the obstacles and the discouragements in one another, don't we? But when Paul looked at the Christians, he looked at the life of the Christian. His mind moved forward to that day when that Christian would stand before Christ as a completed work. You know, those words, carry it on to completion. It's a bit like the idea of finishing a painting. You know, we can be so aware of the unfinished areas of our lives, we can forget that God has already done the work of reconstruction. And our salvation is God just doing the detail work, perfecting us for his glory. And when we recognize that, then our prayers will be marked with a thankfulness and joy as we see those steps of progress. Paul believed that God acts in response to people's prayers. And so he prayed specifically. He didn't just pray, Lord, bless the church. Lord, bless Sarah. But he prays specifically, verses 9 and 10. This is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in depth of insight. He prays they may be able to discern what is good and pursue it. That they would be pure and blameless and they'd be filled with the fruit of righteousness. When we understand that we are partners with one another, our prayer becomes far more than just a prayer list. We'll enter into the lives of one another, into the pains and the joys of our fellow believers. And we'll try to stand in their shoes and to understand what it's that they're going through, and we'll pray earnestly for them. And such confident prayer recognizes, of course, that salvation and growth and fruitfulness are first and foremost a work of God. God has put a sign, as it were, above each of our heads that says, God at work. So let's commit to a confident partnership of prayer. But then thirdly, let's move on quickly, a partnership of compassionate care. We see that in verses 7 and 8. So it's right that I'd feel this way about all of you, says Paul. You have a special place in my heart. You share with me with the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how I long for you, and with the tender compassion of Jesus Christ. You can't be in any doubt about how Paul feels about the Philippians, can you? His visit was all too brief. The fact whether he was street preaching or defending the gospel in the synagogue or sitting chained in prison, he knew the Philippians stood with him in the love of Christ. What better way to express that love than to love God's people? those who had responded to the love of Christ. The Philippians expressed their love for Paul by sharing all that Paul was going through. How would you describe the relationship that we have with one another here at Prettygate? It's so easy, isn't it, to keep people at a distance. You know, the classic answer, somebody comes up to you and say, how are you? Oh, I'm fine, thank you. You're not. Because I'm not. We need the support, we need the partnership of one another. We don't keep one another at arm's length. Our fellowship should be characterized by deep affection and heartfelt commitment. Now, of course, we naturally move towards those of our own family or our own peer group or those who share our interests, but Paul didn't limit his friendships like that. He was in a partnership with those who were very different from him. The gospel breaks down barriers. It breaks down those little circles that we create around ourselves, those people that we feel safe with. And it causes us to reach out to all who know and love Christ. And you know, for Sarah, it can be lonely and discouraging on the front line. How can we express partnership with Sarah? How can we stand with her and say, Sarah, we're with you, we love you, we care for you? When there's discouragement in our church family, sometimes it's easy to stand at a distance. It's to say, you know, I don't want to get involved. I've got enough on my own plate. But brothers and sisters, that cannot be. No, we stand together. And then finally, this was a fruitful partnership. Verses 9 and through to 11. In any relationship, of course, there needs to be progress and growth to maturity. And one of the goals of gospel partnership is that there might be a growth in each of us, that we might be growing more and more like Jesus Christ. So what kind of growth are we looking for here? Well, of course, there's many things we could say, but what we want to say is that it's a growth in love. We pray that your love will abound more and more. And what is Paul talking about? Is he talking about love for God? Or is he talking about love for one another? I think he's talking about love for God and for one another. Loving God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, it demands everything. When the reality of our love for God and our fellow believers, it will be tested. But it flourishes as we stand together, committed to one another as partners together in Christ. As we urge one another on towards love and good works, how do we do that? We can do it through our growth groups. We can do it as we meet together on our weeks when we have our Connect weeks, where we come together as a group and we urge one another on. This Tuesday, I sent a message out, some of you would have received it, saying, does anybody want to meet up? Well, three of us met together, and what a great time. It's such an encouragement to bless one another just by reading scripture together, just by watching a short video together and urging one another on. What a blessing. Oh, I want that to spread through the life of the church and beyond onto the work of the mission field so Sarah can enter into that too. How do we stir one another up in love? By sending, as we send Sarah as our missionary. Oh, by generous, loving support, by newsletters, by short letters, by text messages, emails, by expressing our love. A love that overcomes the obstacles and discouragements. A love that is stirred up as Sarah shares her news with us of what God is doing in the people she's working with. And then that growth is a growth in knowledge and discernment. Verse 9. We need to be those that are growing in understanding of one another. This partnership in the gospel is a growth in a depth of understanding of spiritual truth, in our knowledge of God. And we do that by encouraging one another to read the scriptures. Our love needs to be in perspective. We need to understand one another so that we can truly love one another and be in a fruitful partnership together. That word discern has the idea of putting something to the test, finding out whether it's the genuine thing. And we need to be prepared to take time to really listen to one another, to understand how we're feeling, what we're going through, so that our love can be shown wisely. There needs to be a growth in purity and godly living. Verse 10. This gospel partnerships is about discerning what is best or excellent. We might be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. That we want to be those that are urging one another in holiness. Paul's great concern is that we would be ready when Christ returns so that we might please him. He wants our lives to have a heavenly perspective. To urge one another on, to be open and transparent in purity. And then fourthly and finally, a growth in fruitfulness. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. We want to be those that are bearing spiritual fruit. What does that mean for Sarah? It means growing to be like Jesus. It means people growing who she's discipling, growing in Christ-likeness. It means that for us. Oh, that we might be those that are growing in fruitfulness. Fruitfulness of as we share Christ with others, that we see others coming to know him. Fruitfulness in that as people look at our lives, they see Jesus formed in us. So here we are at Prettygate Baptist Church. By God's grace alone, we're here. We're no less a miracle of God's grace than the Philippian church. You might think your story of conversion is a bit boring compared to some of those that happened in Philippi. No way. Every time someone becomes a Christian, the angels go into an explosion of praise. You might think your testimony is not even worth talking about, but when you came to Christ, there was celebration in heaven because that is what God wanted for you. That is God's plan for your life. And if you're not a Christian, can I urge you to come to Christ? Turn to him. There's so much he wants to give you that you might be part of this great partnership. God is at work through his Spirit as we stand together in gospel partnership. So let's pray confidently. Let's show compassionate care. That should characterize our relationship, our fellowship, and our lives. And let's pray that this would be a fruitful partnership. That God would do good things in our lives, in Sarah's lives, in the lives of those that we pray for and support as we're transformed by the power of the Spirit. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for this wonderful partnership that we can share in the gospel. And Lord, we have to return to this partnership again and again. For Lord, we're not a social club that just meet together on Sundays to have a bit of a spiritual lift. We are a people that are in partnership together in Christ. And Lord, we pray that awareness of what it means to be in partnership with one another would deepen in our lives. That we might be more and more committed to one another as we are to you. That Christ would be formed in us. And that, Lord, we would look for ways to express that partnership with one another. Father, help us, we pray. And may we, if we're not part of this great family of God, may it be that you would work in the hearts of those who stand on the edge of this partnership, who as yet don't know the wonder of the gospel in their lives. Lord, we pray, work among us by your Spirit for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Well, we haven't had a lot of singing today. I've cut out a few songs. Time.